sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
I'm Victor. I mean, John.
Victor.
Who am I?
Robert De Niro, everybody. He's here. And welcome to the show. This week, we'll review Frankenstein. As always, John will give us the plot in five words, and then we'll give our first thoughts, and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
Can I buy a CD?
Of what, of our show?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, sweet.
It's like you pay pennies for it, and we'll send you like hundreds of CDs. Yes.
12 CDs for one penny.
Yeah, we're doing like a house. It's like a house of CDs. Like, I don't know. What is it?
I think I'm just going to... The entire University of Columbia will help me with this.
Pennies for pennies. 12 CDs for 12 cents.
All you got to do is buy 12 at full price the next time around.
Yeah, that sounds good. We should get into that pyramid scheme. That sounds actually really smart.
It's not a scheme. I'm still a part of one.
Yeah, you're still signed up. I'm an
exclusive member, one of 15 in the entire world that's still doing it.
Okay. Well, we could talk about that off air. So, but on air, we are reviewing Guillermo del Toro's adaptation of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Where do we land on that?
Frankenstein.
Okay, that's...
I think Oscar Isaac says Frankenstein, something like that at one point. I don't know.
Did he?
Yeah.
No. I didn't notice.
Other than that, he just says Victor.
Victor.
I think 98% of his dialogue is him saying Victor.
Yeah. Alrighty. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number three for Frankenstein. Stories not listening to women.
Okay.
Have you noticed that?
I mean, yeah. I mean.
So it goes into my next one.
Okay.
Coming in at number two for Frankenstein. Title should be Daddy Issues.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And coming in at number one for Frankenstein, Rolando, if he was white.
And had hair. Jeez.
Well, your hair did look like that.
It did look like that. Yes, my hair did look like that. Proud of that. I got pictures. Screw you.
I got pictures.
Screw you.
Still in the fridge.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you had a different experience than me. I just saw this on Netflix. I went to watch it in the theater. How was that?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, I thought the movie was beautiful, wonderful. It was a lot to take in the theater. So when I rewatched it at home, I really got a lot more out of it, I'll say.
Okay. Where'd you watch it?
I feel like I was able to pay attention more on Netflix. Oh, what theater? Yeah. Sorry. The Los Feliz 3.
Okay. Cool.
In Los Feliz,
California. California. Okay. Not the biggest theater, because I think people were talking about this was going to be on IMAX, right? It's going to be like...
Yeah, I didn't.
No, yeah, obviously. Yeah. What
theater nearby?
Yeah. Same. Yeah, I just saw this on Netflix. I pay for the ads. So that's how I worked in my... I pay for the subscription for the ads for Netflix. And so, like, that worked in my bathroom breaks. This is a 2-hour and 29-minute movie.
Yeah.
So.
I went to go have a drink with my friend George right before I went to go watch it. And right before we were going to go in, I was like, wait, how long is this movie? Probably not the one thing you want to hear right before you go into a movie.
No, that always is well.
Yeah.
Sure, worked out. No pain. No moving around the seats.
You know, we got stuck sitting apart from each other in the same row. But I gave my buddy George the like aisle seat that was kind of open. Mm-hmm. And I was like four people over, right in like one seat away from the wall. There was a guy next to me. It was a full packed house. And about, I want to say hour and a half in, I was like, I need to pee, but I don't see a way to get out of this situation. Yeah. So that probably hindered my experience a bit, but I still love the movie. I thought it was really good.
Okay. What about your relationship with Frankenstein? Because it's old. Have you read the book?
Mary Shelley's?
Yeah.
I think I had started reading it back in like maybe college or something, but never finished it. And that's about it. I know it's not even a very long novel. I think it's like, compared to most books, I think it's pretty short, right? Mm.
Are you a fan of what's your favorite like movie adaptation? Because it's something that's like in pop culture, you know, whether it's the early Frankenstein movies or any sort of other adaptations of it.
Okay. Well, you have the staples in the story, and I gotta say, Gene Hackman has kind of ruined The Blind Man for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I couldn't get over Frankenstein, that. Yeah. Every time I see that character pop up, I'm like, yeah. I'm thinking of Gene Hackman right now.
Yeah.
I think we're getting back to form, right? This is probably the closest adaptation there has been to the book.
I've never read the book either, so I can't explicitly say that. I mean, I've seen Young Frankenstein, like you just noted. I saw Eye Detective, where he's Frankenstein is a cop and solves murders.
Oh, yeah.
So, for some reason, I'm blanking.
Was like a Frankenstein?
De Niro, which is really bad. That's a really terrible movie. Kenneth Branagh directed. Yeah. And famously was having an affair with Helena Bonham Carter there. And that movie is just a lot of just Kenneth Branagh without his shirt on. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Probably an unpopular opinion. I'm not a big fan of that guy.
I think his movies are not always great. Yeah.
I think he played one pretty fun villain in a very silly movie called Wild Wild West, and it just
that's the one you picked. That is his Hamlet or
no, because I don't like them.
or
Belfast or we're fucking
Belfast.
What's the one?
Yes, I know you're talking about now.
Where he's trying to compete with I'm blanking right now. I'm kind of tired. The who's her James Bond recently stopped being James Bond?
Daniel Craig?
Yeah. Right. I feel like he's competing with Daniel Craig now that the Glass Onion movies are coming out. And he's like, well, I'm doing.
Oh, he's doing. Yeah. He's doing
Agatha Christie novels. Agatha Christie novels. It's like, calm down.
Good point. Good point. Yeah.
He's like real up his own ass about those things, I think. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
There's Frankenstein and Van Helsing.
Yes, very bad.
Oh, you know what? My favorite Frankenstein is probably the monsters. No, the Frankenstein from Monster Squad.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Even though David Harbour's Frankenstein in Creature Commandos is a pretty good contender. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, that one's pretty good too. What about Guillermo del Toro's movies? Just his movies in general. How have you felt about him lately? Like his last, you know, output.
I like most of them. I think another unpopular opinion. I did like the fish fucking movie. I know it's not your favorite.
I didn't like that movie. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like something Alley. What was it called?
Nightmare Alley.
I did not like that movie.
Did like that movie? Yeah, I did like that movie.
I like Cabinet of Curiosities. I think that's fun. They're not all great, but you know,
mm-hmm. More of a producing hand on that one.
Yeah. Oh, acting as well, right? Since he narrates.
Hitchcock now. Alfred Hitchcock.
And he opens up little
doors and stuff. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. I would say like now I looked back at his like the IMDb of Guillermo del Toro's like films. I feel like there's more stuff I'm meh about but there are some movies that I absolutely like love. You know, like the big ones. Kronos, Pan's Labyrinth,
Devil's Backbone.
I'm a really big, I have a really, you know, soft spot for Crimson Peak. I know that's not everybody's favorite movie, but I really enjoyed it. I think people
thought it was okay, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked what he did with that movie. Mm. I didn't finish it, but I liked his Pinocchio. I thought it was really good, but I didn't finish watching it. But I liked it. I like what I was watching.
Oh, same. I think that's a movie I watched like half of, and I was like, oh, I need to finish this. I do that to a lot of movies, by the way, everybody listening. I have to admit, I didn't watch Trollhunters Rise of the Titans.
No, I didn't watch that either.
I didn't watch Wizards.
This is all stuff he produced, I think. So I would even say, like, his Hellboy movies are okay. They're not my favorite, you know?
I like the first one, and then I wasn't a fan of the second one.
That's how I am. Most people love the second one, and I am not crazy about it. I thought Blade 2 was great for what it was.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's been kind of like a hit and miss thing. Okay, cool. So give me your first thoughts on Frankenstein. You said you liked it.
I did.
Okay.
I really liked it, actually. We didn't talk about Mimic, and I feel like we did a disservice.
I think we're fine. I think we just talked about it enough by just mentioning it, because I'm not a fan of that movie. I'm not a fan of that movie.
Funny shoes. And the kids playing spoons. No, I like Frankenstein a lot. I think it's a really good movie.
Okay.
I was telling my partner that this is, like, everybody's, like, freaking out about Downton Abbey, and I'm like, this is my Downton Abbey.
But with monsters. This
is... with monsters, yeah. Creatures. Okay, they're not monsters. Oh,
excuse me, sorry.
There's one monster in this movie.
Nomenclature, creatures.
And he admits it later.
He gets called out later by somebody. Yeah, same here. I think that this movie, I want to say... the first part of this movie was fine. It was okay. I wasn't crazy about it. Mm. I can definitely poke holes at it. I wasn't crazy about it. But I thought the latter half, when we have explicitly dealing with...
So you're saying you prefer the creature's story.
I prefer the creature story, yeah. Story. I prefer the creature story, yeah. I thought it was... I felt like that the movie just got better for me.
Yeah.
And I think...
You know what I enjoyed about that on a second viewing? Mm-hmm. Is I didn't... You know, you hear the line, but I don't think it really registered with me. Most of Victor's story is true, but a lot of it's a lie.
Oh.
And he basically admits that to make himself look better. Right before he tells a story. Like, it might not be true. I might be embellishing, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get the creature story, it's just honest and earnest and sincere.
And vulnerable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that Jacob, this is probably the best thing Jacob Elordi has ever done. And Euphoria, he's really good, but like he plays such a piece of shit. Like it's hard to, really kind of.
He's like excellent as a bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's excellent in that part.
He's great in Saltburn. I'm surprised you're not going to say that his Mortuary Tales story is not the best work he's ever done.
Right? I don't remember.
Because he gives birth.
I don't remember.
Remember he wants to have sex with that girl, and he's promoting condoms at the beginning, but he throws them away. So he essentially rapes this woman, and he becomes pregnant because she's like a demon, sort of.
Yeah, I remember the story, but I didn't remember that it was Jacob Elordi in there.
Yeah. His penis explodes, and he has a baby.
Spoilers. So yeah,
only thing spoiled there is his penis.
He's exploding. Yeah, and to me, all that stuff with the actual monster, I thought was great. To me, that's when the movie got like better for me. And I thought they had a well enough finale. And I was trying to figure out why this like first part of this movie didn't work for me very much. And I think what it is I feel like Guillermo del Toro always kind of gets lost in the visuals too much. And he loses the script a bit, you know. And I think that kind of happened in the first part of the story for me. And honestly, I think, I don't know if this is going to be... spicy taker now, but I don't think Oscar Isaac was well cast in this part.
Oh, I thought he was excellent. Yeah. I thought this is probably one of the better roles he's done.
Yeah. It's not that he's like not doing great in it, but I just like, I don't know what it is about Oscar Isaac. Like he's really, really hit and miss with me in parts.
Mm, okay.
And I don't know why, because I just didn't feel anything for this guy, you know, like even though he's doing, it could be argued, I don't know if this is probably not, but it could be argued that like, he's kind of like the bad guy of the piece.
Oh, he's like 100% the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's not likable. He's not a good person.
Yeah.
I think he tries to tell his story like, oh, it's his father's fault, but he's the one that chose to be this egotistical maniac. Like, I think that's what the Mary Shelley story is all about. Like, he thinks he created a monster, but he was the monster the whole time.
Yeah, I think that that scene, that line is kind of like kind of heavy-handed, kind of explicit, didn't need to be said, You know, it's a little it's a little on the nose, that line, right? It you know, the way it's, and I think Guillermo del Toro has a tendency to lean into like these scenes where like, this is the meaning of the movie. Everybody pay attention to this line.
I was gonna say, I think to be fair, that is one of the main big lines from the book. I think he was just trying to really fucking put the book in a movie.
It shows up in his other work too, I feel like. In a lot of his other work.
Yeah, good. Well, because I think he's been, I think he's finally making the movie he's always wanted to make or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, totally. It does.
Like all the other movies were basically he wanted to do a Frankenstein of some sort.
Mm. Yeah, because he loves creatures and stuff. And you know who we haven't talked about yet?
He himself is a creature.
He himself is also a creature. We have not talked about Mia Goth. How'd you feel about Mia Goth?
I feel like she has a tendency to want to play two different characters, one older, one younger.
Yeah.
No, she was great, but I couldn't get over, this is like the first time I've ever seen her in a role, and she just is kind of dopey, and I think that's intentional, right? She's supposed to be like a nerdy sort of.
Yeah. Would you see Emma?
She likes bugs. Like that's one of the big things I took away from
the movie.
Her character as Elizabeth is that she likes bugs.
I will say, well, she have you ever seen Emma with the chick with the weird eyes? This is separated eyes. What's her name?
What?
Anna something or other.
Oh, Anya Taylor Joy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she plays the Brittany Murphy part.
Oh,
so okay. It's funny. She's very goofy in the part. But yeah, no, I will say that I felt to me, her character was very undercooked as a part. Yeah. It seemed very one note. And if you really kind of like dig into it, she seemed kind of like, she kept like, she's like falling for men, different men in this movie. Basically she falls for every man in this movie, creature or not.
Well, she falls for Victor's brother and then Victor and then the creature.
Right.
I don't know what sexual organs the creature has.
Right. They're all dead.
Because they didn't want to show us because Guillermo del Toro is a coward.
He's more of a butt guy. We saw Oscar Isaac's butt.
Yeah, we saw a lot of butts.
Yeah. Saw a lot of butts. Yeah. But yeah.
And he's also got a hand thing, right? That's why Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah, you did. Dude, oh my God, there's another scene in here too. But that I got to elaborate on that. But I didn't like that her character was kind of undercooked. It's kind of like, oh, I like this guy. I like this guy. I love this guy. And it's just like, there's no character here. Just because she likes these men, there's no person here. That's like, seems to be her only function.
I did like, well, she kept trying to explain to Victor, like, hey, you can do this and this, but to what extent? And she kind of calls him out the first time they really hang out when she goes into the confessional and he tries to pretend to be a priest. And she's just like, oh, this guy is like a self-centered piece of shit.
Yeah.
And that's why I like him. No, I was kidding.
Well, she definitely flirted with him and like,
yeah,
allowed him to like I don't know, flirt with her. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like her character. And she has a dual part. She plays the mom, which I thought was so funny. All they did was give her eyebrows. Did you notice that? The mom in the beginning of this prelude or what is it?
That's why I was like, God, there's like some sort of like the daddy issues are so extreme that he wanted to marry somebody like his mom, right? Like,
yeah.
It was like really weird. But I mean, I think the idea is like,
also,
I don't think Victor Frankenstein is ever supposed to be likable.
There is a little bit of incest here, right? It's not explicitly said, but there is a little bit of incest where the narration in the beginning, it's like, dad was never here, but sometimes I would have mother all to myself. And then he has that little toy of the white, like toy or not a toy, but like a figurine of the human body. And he's rubbing his fingers through it. And then they cut to like Mia Goth's character, mom dies, and then it's the same type of coffin. So did any of this register for you? Yeah. Like awful.
The same type of coffin. So I guess the little figurine was supposed to be a coffin. That was historically accurate when it came to funerals and stuff.
Okay, but why did he rub his finger through it? Historically accurate too?
No, I think he was just obsessed with death. Like
he becomes obsessed with death, solving death. Yeah.
I think the whole thing is like he wants to be better than his dad in every way.
Yeah, and I didn't. They say that he loved his other son, more, and he didn't love Victor, yet he taught him everything about anatomy and science and all this other stuff. So that doesn't necessarily seem like a bad dude, right? On its surface, maybe he didn't always show him love, but
and he squandered the fortune too, right? Or did that happen after he died? I think it happened after he died.
I think it happened after he died, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't, I don't know. I don't think there was, it was played brilliantly by, was it Charles Dance, right? But yeah. I feel like we didn't get enough information there to really see why Victor would feel that way. You know, like what sort of trauma or abuse he was experiencing.
My guess is, I think like on average, the youngest is always loved more and the oldest always gets it the worst, right? And I think that's kind of what happened. And also maybe Victor was always a shitty person. And like I said, he admitted that he's probably romanticizing a lot of what happened in his past, but he's going to tell a story.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, that bit of info.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I also feel like...
The younger brother, I felt, got real shafted in this movie. Like, he did all the fucking work.
Mm-hmm.
He figured out how to make this fucking machine work, and then he dies. It's like, okay.
I feel the same way also for the other guy. What's his name? Christoph Waltz also got kind of shafted, too. It's like, he mainly is played to be the benefactor for Victor after they demonstrate that Victor can, like, regenerate, you know, I don't know, a person. And then I feel like they kind of just like, once that kind of plays out, he's like quickly out of the picture, without saying exactly what happens to him. And I thought that was like, and then they throw this crazy idea like, oh, he wants Christoph Waltz wants the body. That's why he was telling him to do that. Like, I don't know. That just seemed like kind of last. It just seemed very, that very oddly. Because it just didn't...
Yeah, because it was too quick.
Yes,
it was like,
that's what it is, yeah.
It wasn't... There was never anything in the cards about, like, I can transfer brains and minds. That was never the thing. It was like, I can bring back a dead body.
Yeah, so why would he request that?
Christoph Waltz saw him piece together body parts, right?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't know how the science worked. And I just like how, like, he was what, like a warlord? He was funding the war, and then conveniently the war's over, so you gotta make the creature now. I don't know. A lot of this, that's why I didn't like this first part of the movie. It just kind of like chugged along.
Yeah. I mean, he does admit something later, right?
Who?
Christoph Waltz.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That he had, whatever.
Yeah, he has
syphilis. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the saying? A one night with Venus, a lifetime with Mercury.
Yeah. Great line. Really good line. But yeah, so I don't know. That's why I didn't quite, none of this stuff really quite landed with me, you know. A lot of these themes always kind of pop up also, like incest and like, there's no judgment. Like, Yorgos always says, like, there's no judgment. He doesn't judge anything, you know, like, he just tries to present certain accuracies to, like, the material, right? Like, and he's always able to put in his pieces, like, daddy issues, like you said, and other things, reoccurring themes. I don't know. What about the...
He likes monsters.
He likes monsters, yeah. Yeah, and like I said, I think once the creature is created and we see how inept Victor Frankenstein is as a father, and even admits, even admits, like, he didn't know what he was going to do. He just made it because he just did it just to do it.
Which is, like, such a really fun, like, what's the comparison there? Like, how dudes just fuck and then get somebody pregnant, they just bounce, or, like, they're like, I don't know, I didn't want you. That wasn't what I wanted. I just wanted a bang.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a fun parallel.
Why? I got a vasectomy.
All right. You hear that, ladies?
Maybe I'm the monster.
But yeah, and yeah, once Jacob Elordi's the creature, it says here they call him the creature. Once he comes into the movie, I think the movie gets like a million times better, you know. And and once they, especially explicitly when, because they have this plot device where, like, we're in the middle of the Arctic or some shit, right? One of the North or South Poles, and there's a ship that crashed, and Victor's out there, leg with like half a leg and beaten up. And they bring them onto the boat, and the creature kind of chases them down. The people, the men on the boat are able to kind of hold them off or whatever. And so then Victor is treated and wakes up and starts telling the story, his story, which is like the first, like, I don't know, but like 45 minutes, hour plus of the movie. And then we kind of start getting the creature's story, which is really good, really brutal. It
feels like it goes faster too, and it's about the same amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What'd you think of that boat? So it's all fully constructed. It was like a real set.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, mostly everything was real, except for obviously they're not in fucking sub temperatures. But
yeah, I would say like that explicitly was great, because I think this movie was like what, $150 million around there, budget wise. It's, you could see it in some scenes. There's also some like really janky CGI that didn't work for me also in some other scenes.
And I think it was like mostly not even CGI. I don't think that it was like weird blue screen, green screen that didn't translate well because of the way they decided to shoot it. It felt kind of like a BBC movie.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. And like,
which I kept arguing, like, this was made for Netflix specifically. Like,
right.
So
I love that also his tower that they end up using for the experiment and stuff.
Which, God, the photos of the BTS of that thing is like impressive.
Yeah. Is it like a real structure?
It's exactly like that. Yeah. It's like a real tall, like actual tall structure.
It's a really cool concept for a castle, right? Because we, you know, like the classic Frankenstein story, he lives up in the castle, Victor. So, and I liked how they dealt with that. It was really cool. And I loved his laboratory too. So there are a lot of things going on there. Cool. A lot of people have...
He didn't have an Igor, huh? I guess his brother was his Igor.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess, kind of.
Yeah, I guess that got left out. An assistant.
Yeah.
He kind of did it himself.
Kind of. That's why I kept saying, like, when he starts dating Elizabeth behind his brother's back, right? Because Elizabeth's supposed to be betrothed to his younger brother. They're in love, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
He would leave and then come back, and his brother had dealt with, like, everything that was going wrong with the structure. Like, I did this and now it works.
Right.
Like, he does like most of the work, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he gets that one good line, but he's very sidelined, very underdeveloped
background,
character.
Yeah.
He gets like a great line in the movie, the one of the top lines, but he is totally neutralized as a character.
Yeah.
I want to talk about like this, the creature story, which is sort of like once Victor is like, fuck it, I'm just going to burn it all down. I'm just going to burn everything. I don't know what I got myself into. I'm just going to burn everything. It's fine.
That was so dumb, too.
Yeah.
like such a panic, like irrational, like, this girl doesn't like me anymore. I don't know what to do with this fucking kid.
Burn it.
Set him on fire.
Yeah, set it all on fire. The creature
I think it's kind of cool. So he plays basically the village in the other movies or tells we've heard, right? Where the village.
Oh yeah, the villagers. Creature. Yeah, pitchfork.
So he's basically that himself. Like, he is everything bad about everything.
That's true. That's a great point. I didn't see that. See it that way when it was happening. And the creature kind of goes off on his own and like touches grass and finds nature and grows his hair out.
Spirit of the forest.
Spirit
right?
of the forest. Yeah, he basically goes like to a nature area and like finds the house, the family, and the blind man, like you said, takes him in and like teaches him, educates him, and he becomes more of a person.
Which was excellently portrayed by David Bradley.
David Bradley, yeah. Famously of Game of Thrones. As you know.
Harry Potter. He was the muggle caretaker.
Yeah.
In Harry Potter.
Was he a muggle? Oh, I guess he was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, he's also been in a million other things. Doctor Who, Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Anyway. That whole thing was really cool. I do like that they made the wolves a little more accurate than we're used to seeing, right?
Sure. Yeah. What do you mean?
Because every time we see wolves in movies, I think most of the time, if they're real wolves, they are like... they make hybrid wolves that are half like some sort of dog breed, like husky, and half wolf. So they're not as large
because
wolves in the wild are like fucking gigantic.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. I just didn't like the CGI of the wolves. I thought it was a little off.
Yeah.
It wasn't very impressive.
A little weird.
Yeah. Yeah. They do a great job of creating the, like, so much empathy for the creature, right? He just has a soft vulnerability about him. And you want to talk about the,
and every time he kills anybody, it's always in self-defense. It's not like,
right, yeah,
he's going out of his way to hurt anybody.
Yeah, true. Do you want to get into spoilers, just talk about like the last act, what really happens?
Oh yeah, sure. But how do you feel about Jacob Elordi being Solomon Grundy? Okay. No, yeah, we can go.
I'll tell you in spoilers.
Wait, No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers.
Oh, yes. 10 out of 10 casting. Yeah.
Him or John Cena. John Cena can play all the big people.
Okay. Yeah. No, give it to Mia Goth. Let her play Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too, actually. Yeah. She could play both Solomon Grundy and Solomon Grundy's monster.
Monster's mother. With eyebrows. Yeah, so the last act of this movie is I don't know, like second act of it is like the creature tells his story on the boat, which I thought was a little weird. That was like a bit weird plot device. And then they end up attacking him.
Yeah, well, they attack him in the cold open.
Right.
Right. And then I think it's just more of he tells a story and then Victor is like, I understand my follies. I understand everything I did wrong. And he's like passing away already, like he's dying. Mm-hmm. And he's like, come, my, I don't know if he calls him my son or whatever, but it didn't occur to me until I read up on this, but he goes, please, before I go, say it, say my name before I die.
Okay.
I was like, he's egotistical right to the end. Do you remember that? He goes, yes, say my name. He's like, Victor. Yeah. I was like, at the time, I was like, oh, how poetic. And then they talk about like, he's so egotistical, even when he's like, I admit I'm wrong, but just say my name.
I took it more like that's the thing he first learned. And it's like, I remember when you were a baby and you said my name kind of moment.
Yeah. Why does it have to be his name, you know?
Because that's how he introduced himself. I don't know. But yes, yeah, I get it. Because he's like, I'm Victor. I mean, Victor. That was like the thing he constantly repeated.
Yeah. I'm named after, you know, Victor means winner. I don't know.
It's something like that. Yeah. There was a conversation about that. Weird conversation about that. But yeah, and then they...
It's like, why would you bring that up, right? The more I thought about that conversation, like, oh, my name is Victor. You do know what that means, right? That's kind of how the conversation was. It's like, yeah, it means like you won. He's like, yeah, exactly. Like, okay.
What? To me, this whole like Elizabeth creature relationship falls flat. What is
a little bit, yeah.
What is the thing that she just sees him? It's not a traditional sort of love.
No, I think she's just like vegan or something.
Okay.
That's what it is, I think. She's like animals, creatures all deserve to live because she likes bugs. It's all there in the movie.
I believe you. I don't know. I just didn't buy this like period piece drama that we get here at the end where the creature confronts.
She was there to introduce empathy and kindness and like softness to the creature because he hasn't experienced that at all yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened so quick is the issue.
Yeah.
I think like it wasn't like, oh, a long period of them talking. It was literally a couple of times.
Right.
I thought maybe that the creature was going to kill her by accident or something.
It's a sort of unconventional love, right? Is what we're getting at that she had, she had for the creature.
But more of like a mother son thing. And then I feel like the creature felt like it was more of like, this is what it's like to have a mother sort of deal.
To have somebody care for him and not like mistreat him.
Yeah, because you know Victor fucked that creature. The writing's on the wall. I'm just kidding. No, he didn't do that, I don't think.
So yeah, like the creature confronts Victor and Victor tries to shoot the monster, but the Elizabeth character gets in the way and dies. I did like that her dress filled with blood, right? Is that what happened from her dying? Yeah, something like that, which looks like her mother who was dead. Okay, going back to the mother and the father and stuff. And then the monster like hits, I think the monster like hits his brother, right? And kills him.
I thought when Mia Goth's dress turned red, it was so she could be like, haha, see, I was the mother, also the mother character. When you go back and rewatch this on Netflix, you'll realize I play two characters in this movie. It's
like, please, I'm a star.
Which, side note, I bought two enamel pens from A24's store shop, and it's Maxine and Pearl.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned it. And so that leads into the creature going into a rage and pursuing Victor all the way to the, I don't know, North Pole or some shit or the Arctic. And that's kind of comes full circle.
Because luckily earlier in the movie, the creature found a leaf and it went out into the drain because there's a massive drain that has like a 50-foot drop or something that goes out the back into like a river or something.
As you do, yeah.
I was like, very cool. Aesthetically pleasing. I don't understand the function. Maybe it's just like everybody's taking massive dumps and that's where it goes or something.
Well, what's your familiarity with aqueducts? Is that...
Let's see. My extensive knowledge in aqueducts stops at Rockadoodle when the bat said he saw the Rockadoodle character go down an adequate pipe.
So you're a pipe guy. You're a big pipe. Yeah. Yeah. What would you think of the pipe work in Victor's castle?
That was great.
Good pipe guy. Got a good pipe guy, that Victor.
I like that the creature presents me a goth with a gift, and it's that leaf also, like, yeah. Oh, give a lady a leaf. She will enjoy it.
I got to try that. Grab a leaf off the ground here. Check it out. It's a leaf. You know, for your books and stuff. Yeah. It's cool. It's cool.
There's more where that came from. Yeah. I like it. So.
But yeah, and then... What happens down at the end here? The creature pushes the boat into back into the water, right? It's been stuck in the ice.
Yeah, he kind of pushes it because they've been stuck, yeah.
Then he blows himself up? Oh, no. That happened before, right?
No, that happened before.
I think he just stays up there, right? He just becomes, I'm the monster. I'm going to stay here forever. Deal.
Yeah, he's just out in the ocean. I think he probably keeps Victor with him, right? I think.
I don't remember. Your diet, I thought.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, he just kind of stays out there because he understands he can't
be among
join society men. Because everybody fucking freaks out every time they see him.
Yeah.
Even though he's an engineer and he's going to create humanity but then xenomorphs are going to be involved somehow.
Then move to California and Eric Dane will be his dad at some point. All right. That's all that happened. All righty. Do you have any other thoughts before we read the movie?
No, just that I really liked it.
Okay, fair. All right, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you're doing. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Frankenstein 8.5 sexy spooky bones.
I'm gonna go a little lower than that. I'm gonna say about a 7. I thought it's an entertaining movie. It's a good movie. Definitely would rewatch it. But overall, I think it was just okay. You know, there's moments to like about it, but it was just okay for me. All right, guys, girls.
Were you going to say something about the gloves? Didn't you have a story about the gloves? Or no? Am I lying?
I did have a story about something. The gloves?
Oscar Isaac's red gloves?
No. I think it was about the hands. It was about the fingering of the coffin. That's right.
The coffin.
Yeah. Thing. The incest. A lot of incest in his movies. Crimson Peak, too. A lot of incest. Oh, yeah. Weird stuff.
Hellboy.
All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always...
Stay spooky.
Kenneth Branagh.